Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Up on TSN 2, Brian Hasey, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We got a big hour. Jack Armstrong will be in studio. We're looking forward to seeing Jack. Sweet 16 tipping off tonight. The Raptors coming off a bad loss. Officiating in the NBA. It's going crazy. Luka's going crazy. Mark Cuban's going crazy online. I appreciate that from Cuban because he's got so much money and he's an owner and he's committed to his team.
Right.
He just doesn't. He's like, go ahead, find me. They'll find him $100,000, $150 million.
I think the refs have had a tough like year in a lot of sports. Like they're under the gun a lot, I find anyway.
Agreed.
Yeah, they are. And I think this is a big part of it is the players are complaining a lot.
Yeah.
They're complaining a lot more.
Which means, Hayes, we talked about the complaining and it's a little bit out of control. But when it gets to that level, maybe you got to be looking at it if you're Adam Silver saying, possibly we have a problem here.
I think two things can be true here. I do think the officiating is I don't know if it's worse than it ever has been. I don't think it is.
It's just more polarizing.
It is, and technology is so extensive now, and the ability to break down every single second of every angle in 4K allows you to realize how much they're missing or how much they're getting wrong.
I've always believed, though, if you want to change that, have a ref, whatever sport, watching it from bird's eye and mic'd into these refs going, just missed that or I saw that. Like,
but can you do it quick enough where you get it?
I don't know.
At a reasonable time for the stoppage of play. Like, that's the thing. Like, the NBA implemented this two-minute review, right? Yeah, the day after, who the hell cares? The game's over.
Right.
Like, I've never understood why anyone cares for Silver and company to say, yeah, that was a foul. Right. That should have been a foul. This one wasn't a foul. The game's over.
Right.
What does it matter? All you're doing is exposing the ref even more. And by that point, people have already seen it. They saw it live. They know there was a mistake. Right.
I mean, I'm leaning back towards where you are. It's like human error, live with it.
I think that's the biggest problem. I really do. Is they allowed for review, and now everyone wants everything reviewed.
Right.
And if you wash your hands of it all, you can say, God, like, just live with it. We did for 100 years. Yeah. There's going to be mistakes. Shut up.
It's just the everything is worth so much more nowadays. The parity in all these leagues, the money involved, the fans invested. I'm not just talking hockey. I'm talking everything, like right across the board.
Do you think athletes today are happier? Like, I know that sounds like a goofy question, but they're making more money than ever. We're talking Shohei Ohtani making $1 billion. Right. Do you get the impression like everyone's happy?
No, I think they're more miserable than ever, and I can't put my finger on why.
I think so, too.
But it's because they can't live a life. Like, there's lots of money involved and all that, but you can't live a life. I talk to players all the time. It's like, yeah, can you go out and have a good time? No. We're like, it's camera phones, perception. Everyone's got to weigh in on it. Like, I told you, I am pushing for once. If you wake up, you know how they've had the National Donut Day, National Sibling Day, National Shut the You Know What Up Day for one day. Stop complaining.
All right. Ray's on hold. Do you think he'd be a proponent of that?
I think he'd be down for that.
All right. Here's our buddy Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Could you do that, Ray? Could you take one day off? No talking about anything. Just everyone gets along. Everyone's happy.
I would be Noodle's information manager on that. I would be right on that. That would be amazing.
Okay.
Wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, think about it. We all wake up in the morning. I'm sure the first couple things we do is, you know, you check emails, you check texts and all that. And then you go on Twitter and you go, okay, what's trending? What are people pissed off about? What are, you know, this happened. Like, it's all it is a laundry list of complaints. Now, some are real world problems. I get that.
Yeah.
But also it's trending. Like I say, the Leafs lose. Sheldon Keefe is trending because people don't like the deployment of his third line. Like, it's enough. They've got 93 points. Move on with life.
Well, the thing that somebody told me this term, doom scrolling, it's like you just scroll through Twitter looking for something that really pisses you off.
That's true.
And I'm like, oh, my God, that's exactly it. Like, because most of the time you're just going, oh, yeah, defenseman's out there or this guy's out there. Oh, here's a really good article. I'd like to read that or something like that. But most of the time it's like, how can one guy, pick anybody, be an expert on 16 different things? Those guys, I go right to mute. I can't stand it anymore.
Oh, there's so many of them too, Ray. So many.
Oh, it's everything. They know everything about golf. They know everything about football. Now they're into politics. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes their thing on the new goalie equipment. Like, Jesus.
Ray, I love the fake outrage guy, and we all know one. There's a bunch in this market. It's just... they're outraged about every single thing in 20 different aspects of life. I just think to myself, there is no way you can care about all of this stuff. No way.
Honestly, I think that one of the best things that I finally got to was I care about almost nothing anymore.
Like, yeah, family, your job, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I read it and I go, that bugs me. Oh, well, next thing. Because I can't, who's got the mind space to care about everything so much? Like, this thing, Noodles, I heard you say about Sheldon Keefe not deploying his third line the right way the other night, and they got their teeth handed to them. Okay, so they get a bunch of new players. Are they experimenting too much? Well, you got a bunch of new players. What are you supposed to do?
Right.
When the Rangers got Kane and Panarin, or got Kane, their whole plan was they're going to play him and Panarin together. They did it for 3 days. Gerard Gallant looked at the 3 games and went, this stinks. And if he wouldn't have experimented, how would he have known? Now they play on different lines. There's no perfect way. And they'll get Keith and every other coach with all these new players after the deadline. They'll get to however they're going to set their lineup with like 5 or 6 or 7 games left. And that'll be it. But there's no panic now.
Well, that's the thing, Ray. Like, we've been talking about this extensively. You look at the best teams in the league, Toronto being one of them, Boston, Jersey, Carolina, Colorado's hot again, Dallas is going to the playoffs. Like, those coaches, these are all seasoned coaches that I'm sure have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like anyway. Right. Like, the experimenting is almost like, if this guy gets hurt, you know, if that guy's not playing that well. But I would assume most coaches have a pretty good idea. It's like day one of camp. They know who's starting opening night. They're pretty certain of who's going to be playing.
If we know about it and the fans know about it, chances are the people that live it 24/7 have probably had it cross their mind. Yep. They probably thought, oh, gee, maybe we should sort out our defense pairing. Do you think they just go into the office and go, hey, who are we going to put together today? Let's throw him with him. Man, it's like it's just not like that. It's just not. And the back to one other thing I wanted to say, what I heard you guys talking about when we came in about, you know, like you can't go anywhere. Did you see that footage of Messi going out to eat?
That was wild in Buenos Aires. Yeah, that was crazy.
Who wants to be that? I'd like to be Messi when he made the World Cup winning, you know, had the World Cup winning play or World Cup winning, you know, they won the World Cup this past fall. But then I don't want to be him anymore. Who wants to go out? And the guy went out for a steak, and there's 20,000 people outside the restaurant. It was lunacy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, technology, not to get too heavy, but it's completely changed everything. Like, I'm sure we all grew up. Right. You go to a restaurant, you go to New York, you go to a restaurant, like, you'd see pictures on the wall. Yeah. That's how you knew that guy went there. Yeah, that's it. You had to walk in there and say, hey, 14 years ago, Joe Pesci was in here for a steak.
Dude, I just did that with my kids in Tampa. I went to an Italian restaurant that I always went to with Ronnie Francis and Sean Hill. And my kids were like, I thought for sure the Italian guy took a picture of me and Ronnie and put it on the wall. And my kids were like, Dad, is your picture up there? I'm like, of course it is. They come back and they're like, no, it isn't. I was so embarrassed. Because it was kind of like, turn back the clock. This is where I used to hang out with my buddies. And they were like, is your picture on the wall? I'm like, of course. Go out there in the hallway. And me and Ronnie are probably sitting right with Stallone
just
or something.
Up, yeah.
They come back and they're like, it's not there.
It got replaced. That's what you go to Vincent's in Long Island. There's not pictures of me and Ray having chicken parm in the 90s. Like, they've replaced it with Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck who've eaten there last week. You know,
it was a slight kick in the pills. I was like, God, that guy never put that up.
Yeah. Or it was
a good thing, too, because the clothes that we were wearing, nobody needs to see those bloody things.
A shiny suit. double breasted.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you're obviously down in Dallas. You're calling Penn Stars tonight on ESPN, and there's a lot of games going on tonight. The Leafs are down in Florida, and I'm curious where you're at with the Leafs. Like, putting the juggling aside, and we're beyond the trade deadline. We've spoken to you since. Just kind of what you think the vibe would be like around the room, knowing you're playing Tampa and you effectively just got to kill time for 3 weeks, or it feels that way.
I think it's kind of hard because the games matter right now, even though they don't really matter because you're going to play Tampa, but you want to play well, but you can't. It almost doesn't matter what you do, except it does, because nobody wants to play themselves into a hole where they don't feel good about their game. So you're trying to play well, but if you win, awesome. And if you don't, well, we got another game in 2 days, because you're not, it's not like somebody from the fourth line is going to play on the first line. Like, you're not losing your spot. It's tough to manufacture, I think, urgency to play, like importance to play. You just can't wait for it to start. You're locked in. If I were Toronto, I'd be looking and go, we're going to win this year. Like, look at how Tampa stumbled around here. Like, is Victor Hedman all of a sudden going to find Victor Hedman game? Well, he might, but it's been a long year for him. Tampa's not the team they were even 2 years ago. Like, they can be beaten. I think Toronto's a good team. Is there goaltending going to hold up? I don't know. I mean, that's the one thing I don't know how anybody would say for sure I believe in Murray and Samsonov over Vasilevsky. I don't know how you could do that, but all it has to do is be good enough, because I think Toronto can win that series.
Ray, we were talking about this kid, Matthew Nyes, and his potential of coming into the lineup. And Joe from the Bridge, who we work with, and his buddies, they think that he's going to be Mark Messier come playoff time.
Right.
How should that be handled? Like, is it just like a wait-and-see thing, and it's like if the kid's great, you throw him in the lineup? Or why don't you temper expectations in this market regarding Matthew Nyes joining the Leafs?
Now, I've seen him play, I think, twice. So I'm going to couch it with that. Second thing to that is I see people saying, you know, people that you would think have a sense of things, they're not super fans or whatever, and they're like, oh, I just throw him with Matthews. If you throw him with Matthews, he's playing the other team's best defenseman, as opposed to playing 18-year-old and 19-year-old defenseman that he's playing now. Like, can you imagine? It's going to be like your first day when you're 16 years old and you got, or 18 now, and you got your license and you're by yourself and you pull out onto the highway, and everybody feels like they're going 147 miles an hour. Like, this is an enormous step. And his first couple of games are going to be likely the last couple of the season, and then Tampa. Oh, well, that's an easy step. Like, it's going to be really hard. I'd be very surprised if he makes a meaningful impact, because the pace of the game for a kid like him is going to be the deciding factor of how good he can be. And to come out of college and to hit the ground at the toughest time of the year is going to be a really large step. Really large.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN and ESPN hockey analyst, McDavid hit 60 goals last night in 72 games. So he's got 10 more to try. Like, this is where you're always asking for more. I wonder if he ever steps back and goes, can you just let me relax for like a day? You know, now we're yelling about him hitting 70 and 150 points. He's obviously the heart winner. Is this like the most blatantly unanimous heart-winning season you can recall in the last, you know, decade, 15 years? It just, what this guy's doing every single night is absurd. Like, he's lapping the field, and it's not even close. 5-on-5 now, he's leading the league in points, power play points. The guy's got like 63 power play points or something. It's crazy.
I'd like, you know, when we vote, I have a vote on that stuff. I don't know if you guys vote or not, but yeah. They've decided to make them public. I'd like to see what guy or girl is going to vote for someone other than McDavid.
Better not happen, right?
There'll be somebody like, that has a chart. I guarantee you there'll be something that's like, not defensively.
Or, I'll give you one. Someone in Florida that gives Kachuk a vote if they get in. Well, I could see that.
I could see that.
I could see it. I can't reason with it.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. This year you can't, Hayes. You cannot do it. You shouldn't be allowed to vote if you do.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Right. He's playing a different sport. Like, I was so pissed he scored that goal last night where he banked it off Ingram's head, because I have the Oilers next Tuesday in Vegas, and I was hoping that he would get his 60th there. And I'm like, nah, once he got the 59th, I'm like, well, that's out the window. Like, of course he's going to score between now and then.
How about the pass from Dreisaitl? Like, the first pass. But I thought it was funny, Ray. Like, he almost broke his stick on the boards, like when he missed the initial breakaway. He slashes the boards twice. Like, what if his blade falls off right there? He doesn't get it, because Dreisaitl does a good job getting the puck back on the second opportunity. I thought it was hilarious. Like, he was pissed.
What if that pass hits his stick and it just blows the blade right off?
Yeah.
That would have been, it would have been kind of awesome to see it. But so I'm watching the game. I'm sure you guys watched last night. And so TNT's got it. And they're talking about, is Connor McDavid going to be on the Mount Rushmore of hockey players? And they said, only if he wins a Stanley Cup. I don't care if he wins or not. This is not a one-guy sport. Like, why would he ever tail off? I don't understand why he would. How could he not be considered one of the greatest players ever to play by the time he's done? Like, I don't care if they win, or it would be great if he did for his legacy and all that. What he's doing is putting himself on a level that other people have never gotten to. If Wayne Gretzky didn't win a cup, would we still call him the greatest player ever? I would. Guy get 220. I don't know. I don't even know how many points he's got. But it's like, it's what he's doing is just so amazing to watch. I just love watching him play. It's so good.
Ray, if you could fire a couple guys into the ring, like we were talking about it yesterday, would Matthew Tkachuk be like one of the runners up? Like, who would be a couple guys? We know he's winning the Hart, but who would you throw in there as like runner up for the Hart?
I know this every time this guy's name gets brought up, it's like but he plays with McDavid. Well, that's fine, but how could you discount Dreisaitl? Mm-hmm. Like what he, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk for sure, he's having an amazing season. Like he really is. I would probably have McKinnon in that group as well, given the games he's missed and the number of points that he has. It's hard to even, I don't know, don't you think? Oh, it's kind of hard to have a who's next when all I can think of every time I try and think of that is like, oh, wait a minute, it's McDavid. And
Dreisaitl's like an interesting call, Ray. I haven't actually heard anyone say that yet. And it's so easy to look past what he's doing because of what Connor is doing. And it's like, it's right under your nose.
Yeah, he's got 110 points.
110 points. Yeah, you know who else? I just pulled this up because I wanted to check. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't way off on it. But David Pastrnak's got 48 goals.
Yeah.
And as much as the Bruins are a team and all that thing, and they really are, they're constructed just in an outstanding way. But I would put Pastrnak in that next level group as well. He's had an amazing year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's McDavid clear-cut. Then I think Tkachuk, the way the voting works, if Florida gets in, I think Pastrnak's there. Kucherov might get some love. Drysdale. How about the guy you're going to see tonight, though, playing for Pitt? Like, if Crosby continues to play like this and they get in instead of Florida, and he ends up with 35 goals and 100 points, he's averaging 20 minutes a night, this cat is playing at a level that is gross. I mean, he still looks, I wouldn't say it's vintage Sid, but how far off is it from like 2008 Sidney Crosby?
I don't know whatever the percentage is, but man, Hayes, he's just like, he's a consistency machine.
Yeah.
Like, he just is, like, it. Every year, you know, you're like, oh, you almost take for granted his greatness, what he's able to do. Like, the goal he scored last night, There's only one other guy I can think of that would score that goal, and that's Mike Modano in the day. Like that backhand rocket noodles. I mean, who else shot it in your time in net? Who else, could anybody else shoot it like what Crosby did last night or Modano?
Not from the backhand. Like, Modano actually scored a goal in Minnesota like that on me, and Wes Wall skated by and said, "What the hell was that?" Like, I remember in my, like, I'm digging it out of the net, and Walsey was covering him. He goes, "What the hell was that?" And I was like, "I don't know, man." Like, that, I didn't see anything like that. Like, it was a backhand kind of, like, half clapper, and it was almost harder than a slap shot. It was on the back. Like, it was so impressive. I mean, I gave up a ton of goals. That one, I remember the comment after, where Walsey was like, "What the hell was that?" Mm-hmm. Like, it was just such a weird play.
Pretty good.
But you're right. Modano comes to mind shooting the puck on the backhand like that.
You know who else had a wicked backhand, almost like a backhand slash slap shot? Was Paul Kariya.
Oh, yes.
He had this weird, like, slap shot backhander. He would use it on the point and stuff. It was outrageous.
Like, those... That skill is just, I don't even know how you develop it to the level they have it at. It's like Dreisaitl's backhand passing. Like, these are the best players in the world, and they stand out on top of all of them. Crosby's now, like, 11 30-goal years. Never think of him as a goal scorer. He's got 11 30-goal years. And that's his third in his 30s that he's got 30 goals. Like, that's pretty good stuff. You know, we keep talking about the game's faster and more skilled, and it is. And Sid's still among the very best. I think he's top 15 in scoring right now for a Penguins team that's kind of falling apart. And, you know, we got this game going tonight. They're hanging by a thread in this playoff race. And I see they just called up Dustin Tokarski and Philip Hallander, a forward. They're on emergency recall. So I think two guys got hurt last night. And, you know, it's got to be something to that effect. They got two guys not available to play tonight. After they flew from Denver to Dallas, like, this is the old good luck game tonight.
No kidding.
Right?
Yeah. Like, no kidding. Well, it'll be a good one on ESPN tonight. He, of course, is Ray Ferraro. He's calling a game. It's always great catching up with you, buddy, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, you bet. Good to talk to you, Noodles. Let's get that. Whenever you organize that day, get me on the calendar. I'm your information minister.
Yes.
The no complaining day.
No complaining day. Yes. Two-headed monster.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Can't wait to see how that plays out.
Us two grumps are going to be on there. I said no complaining.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
You'll be
it.
Complaining about the execution of the day.
Yes, exactly.
Which will be rich.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our ESPN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, there's a chance Pitt misses. Washington's likely going to miss. But, like, Ovechkin passing Gretzky in the amount of times he scored 40. Sid's right behind Gretzky in the amount of times he's had a point per game in a season.
Yeah, this is, like, pretty.
And then you got McDavid doing what he's doing. You know, the stars are showing up in the NHL. Like, there's no doubt about that.
It's good storylines. Like,
yeah,
it's nice
great.
to watch. You're right. Like, in Washington, it hasn't gone the way they've wanted, but you're still tuning in to see if Ovi can continue to add. And with Crosby, like, man, they, like, that's a big win in Colorado. Like, that was a tough game last night watching, and, like, Sid was, like you said, turned the clock back. Like,
absolutely.
That was 08 Sid.
Who was the defenseman that he turned inside out?
It was Girard, was it not?
Yeah, it was Girard.
Yeah.
What was he doing? That was some Sarnia Sting type defending, man. Like, he went inside and Sid went outside.
That was,
it was a tough look.
It was that not was, a good
that
look.
That was Hayes and Sarnia.
That was. You get turnstiled and Sid goes shelf from the hash marks on
thing
a backhand.
You know,
whenever a
is?
D-man gets beat now, we'll just say, you got stung.
You got stung.
Thing is, though, I was expecting the D to look back at the goalie and go, "Can you just bail me out
give
on
me
that,
one
please?"
There,
like,
please.
Give me. But that was a rocket.
Yeah, it was kind of like that was a backhand, but it was like Clutterbuck's goal the other night.
Yeah,
where, you know, Marner and Riley were probably thinking, "Can you stop
well, just
that?"
Just wedging him off. So
don't
that's
bail
a shot.
On me, by the way. We're going to Sarnia for that golf tournament.
Yeah,
July.
Yeah, yeah. We'll
reached out,
there.
Right?
Like, yeah, there's been reaching out. There's been reaching out. Yes, we'll be there, man. We're gonna have to
Who
put on a clinic.
Who was your GM when you were there?
I honestly don't even remember his name. I don't
probably not in the league
name.
Anymore.
Oh, I'm sure.
What are you talking about? You don't remember the GM?
I do not remember the name of the GM. I was acquired. I was there. I don't even know how long I was there. A couple months.
Didn't the guy call you when he acquired you?
Yeah, I told the story. It was like the trainer was the one that was like, "All right, I'll meet you at the rink." I don't.
He's mad because he's got to go open the rink for you to get in.
Yeah,
dude, I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. You don't know who the GM was when you were in Sarnia.
I am telling you.
Joe from the Bridge, look it up.
I could not tell you his name. I could not tell you his name.
Awesome.
All right, Jack's coming in. Some Leaf news here quickly. They're going 11-7. Morgan Riley's not playing tonight, which is interesting. TJ Brody's going in. Luke Shen is back in. But Riley, it sounds like load management, but they didn't play last night. They don't play tomorrow. So
maybe not feeling well.
Maybe he's banged up or something. We'll see if we can get an answer on that. But the Raptors with an awful loss last night. We'll get Jack's take on that in a Sweet 16 getting going starting tonight on TSN. So Jack will be in to discuss that as well. We'll do that with Jack. He'll be in studio next. All right, the Sweet 16 has arrived. You can watch it on TSN. It's a great time of year if you're a basketball fan. You got college ball. You got the NBA coming down the stretch. You got controversy in the NBA. And we got our main man, Jack Armstrong, in studio. What's happening, Jack?
I have not been in here in a long time.
It's great to see you.
Great to be back.
Awesome to see you. What don't you do now? Like, you're running parades. You're singing.
Singing is awesome.
I mean,
yeah,
it never stops with you. Every time we're online, we see something else.
Well, it's the parade this past Sunday was an incredible honor and just an absolute thrill to PS to be the Grand Marshal of the Toronto St. Patrick's Day Parade. So that was a lot of fun. And I was singing some Irish songs over the weekend, too. So
a jig or two?
Doesn't make me a bad guy.
Absolutely not. No, we support that.
We were wearing green last week. And I had nothing green in my closet other than a Hello Jack hat
that you had given. Bang!
And a t-shirt, but it was a little small, so I had to go with like a sweatshirt that O had made. What was it? Greg Norman.
Yeah, the Greg Norman.
He fell down.
Yeah, he puked on, was that on 18 in 96 at the Masters,
I think? It was like 11. It was 11.
Yeah, it didn't go so well for him.
Yeah, it was a precursor of what was coming
But
for
we
Greg
talked
Norman.
About you with the hat.
Yeah. Oh. There you go.
Thank you for the love.
Merchandise everywhere. It's a thing of beauty. All right, so before we get to the tournament, let's look back on last night. We were so disappointed. We came out of the gate talking about it.
Oh, the Raptor game.
Yeah, the Raptor game. And Fred said it. Van Vliet was like, we were terrible. We got beat across the board. And, yeah, he got injuries, but they had injuries too. Like Halliburton didn't play. They were 1-for-11 from 3 in the fourth. Their defensive intensity was non-existent early. Like, that's just, I don't understand that, Jack. Like, that's a game you got to get. You know you're fighting for your life. Like, what's the explanation for how they played the way they played last night?
I was at the arena last night, and when I walked in the arena, I said, look, they got to go 10 games left. They got to go 7-3, in my opinion, closing down the season here. And they got to win these four games at home. You know, Indiana, Detroit, Washington, Miami. Mm-hmm. And then go 3-3 the rest of the way, and you're on your way to having some momentum going into the play-in and qualifying and all that. It's just been that kind of year. I can't. Every time I think I have this team figured out, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. There are times there's like a disconnect defensively where there are times where they can when they put their minds to it stop people. Then other times you're like going, what is going on out here? And then offensively, it just, again, just some nights they're on the same page, some nights they're together, and then other nights they're not. And it's just been one of those years where I guess it's kind of one of those years. I don't know. I can't honestly put my finger on it and say that's the problem. It's like you have 11 holes in the dike and you only got 10 fingers to plug. And you don't know which one's the plug. And to me, that's been that kind of year where every time you think they have something figured out, they don't. To your point about their three-point shooting, that's been an issue all year. But they've had stretches where they've really shot it well. They've generated good shots and played well together. And then other nights you're like, what? So it's just been that kind of year. It's been very, very frustrating.
Well, you were talking about like that game was a winnable game, kind of a must-win game last night. And Hayes said at the start of the show, and this is what we're talking about, you had three players that were questionable to play last night, and all three didn't play. So would that be a situation where maybe the trainers are like, They could probably play if this was game seven of the playoffs, but we think that we should win this game with who we have, and then they end up not winning it. Like, what do you think is the thought process?
I honestly don't know. That's a legitimate question. You know, anytime a guy is listed as question, you know, it's 50-50, obviously.
Right.
But man. But
like all three didn't play.
All three guys didn't play.
I can't understand that.
And to me, it maybe their thought process is like, we should beat this team with who we have anyway, so just take an extra day off type of thing.
And here's an interesting thing you guys can relate to, and it happens with the Leafs.
Yeah.
And it happens, I see it with the Knicks, I see it with the Lakers. For example, the Leafs, you have all these Ontario kids come in and play, and it's hockey night in Canada on a Saturday night.
Right.
You know, the Leafs better be really good that night. And it's the same thing, the Knicks. Everyone gets up to play in the Garden.
Right.
The Lakers, everyone gets up to play in L.A. You know, you got all the movie stars and all that. And last night, you had three Canadian kids starting for the Indiana Pacers. It was basketball Canada night in the arena.
But isn't there an argument, Jack, that those three kids shouldn't be beating you? Or the two kids?
They're amped. They are ready to play. And they got got their whole team. I was watching Indiana's bench. The guys that are playing are going bonkers. It's like a game seven to the playoffs for them. Right. And the Raptors didn't come out. They didn't match their intensity, and they definitely didn't exceed it. And, you know, you're right. It's a roll of the dice. I don't know the medical issues those three guys. I have no idea. But you say, you know, maybe you can dodge a bullet here and steal a game.
Give an extra couple days.
Yeah.
You know?
But, man, oh, man, you know, the margin of error gets slimmer and slimmer.
Yeah.
And that's a tough loss last night. I'm not going to lie. It's a tough one.
Yeah, that one hurt. And, you know, you mentioned the Canadians, Nembhard in particular. Like he was
great.
He was outstanding. That was the dagger. He turned the lights out with that three late. And he was first pick of the second round and a guy that, you know, wasn't getting as much love as maybe some other Canadians. But, man, he looked good last night.
You know,
really
Rick,
good.
And Rick Carlisle had some great things to say about him after the game. He is definitely an in-control lead guard, and he gets everyone involved. And he played a hard-nosed, tough game. And then you bring T.J. McConnell in off the bench. He's pesky. And I tell you what, they were taking the fight to the Raptors whole night. And to me, I think that's been the most frustrating thing watching the Raptors this year on a consistent basis of their inability to take the fight to people and put people on their heels. And I thought a year ago they did that. And maybe expectations got a little wacky. Other teams around them got better. And unfortunately, they kind of just got stale and got leveled off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hey, look, there's nine games left. A lot can happen. But man, oh, man, the sense of urgency's got to be there. Consistency. And, you know, I don't know if it was Aristotle or Socrates, some smart guy said, excellence is a habit, not an act.
Right.
It's not a habit right now. You know, the habits that you see, that you want to see in game 73 isn't there right now. And that's been the single most frustrating thing about this group this year.
And asking for urgency, Jack, with nine games left.
That's hard.
Yeah.
It's tough. And
it's not
happening. I follow this one guy on Twitter, and he's got some great motivational quotes. And one of them is very simple. Sometimes the way you do anything is the way you do everything. It's like, it's
legit.
I don't know. It's legit, man.
And that's why when you ask, you know, when people ask me about the Raptors, I'm like, I can't put my finger on it, but that finger is probably what you just said.
Right.
You know, and habits and, you know, who you are and what you're, it's there. And there are teams, we've all been involved with it,
mm-hmm.
where you look at a team and you go, man, they're not that good, but they're good.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way. They're in your face, and they're balling, or they're knocking your ass into the boards or whatever, and you're like, they're not as good as us, but man.
Yeah.
And it just, and then there are other teams you look at, and you go, on paper, well, the game ain't played on paper. The game's played on wood. It's on ice. It's on grass, whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
And this group is better on paper than they have been on wood. And they got nine games to figure it out. Whether they do or not, I don't have the slightest idea.
Yeah, we'll see if they can salvage it. I mean, as of now, they're still in the play-in. I still think they end up in the play-in, but that was a big opportunity last night. you know, Atlanta
loses and Chicago loses.
Right. Yeah, you could have really made some noise last night, and it didn't happen. And it also kept Indiana sniffing around and thinking they could still play their way in.
And you got Washington here Sunday, who is
still sniffing
around. And by the way, you don't have the tiebreaker with Atlanta. So you need to exceed Atlanta. You can't just catch Atlanta. You got to exceed them. So that's where, you know, that it's almost a 2-for-1.
Jack Armstrong in studio. Speaking of Atlanta, Trae Young was popping off about the officials last night. I'm sure you saw Luka with the money sign directed towards the ref, allegedly. Mark Cuban going crazy on Twitter, calling it possibly the worst call in NBA history or something along those lines. And it was mass confusion in the end of the third quarter. Mass confusion. But you're courtside all the time, Jack. You know, we talk about this all the time. Is the officiating actually worse today than it was 20 years ago? Or are we just focused on different elements? Or do we have access to technology that we didn't once have that allows us to review it differently?
Part two. I think the fact that we have all this technology and television does an amazing job with all the different camera angles. You know, you can get incredible night's entertainment sitting at home in your man cave watching a game.
Right.
And the technology's all there. I will say this, though, about the NBA. A lot of our really good officials have retired of late and kind of faded away. And now a lot of times your crew chief just a few years ago was a number two guy. Right. Now they're number one.
So right. It's a cycle.
It's a cycle. And I think they're caught in the middle of a cycle. I've said this. I don't get any good vibes from anybody when I bring up the idea. In my opinion, the way I would fix NBA officiating is very simple. The NBA people don't agree with me. And that is, I would go and say, look, aren't we a multi-billion dollar league? Yeah, we are. Now, aren't all these leagues in bed in some way, shape, or form with gambling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are people even crazier now when they watch games? Yeah, because they're putting money on games. So if you're going to do all that, then the three people calling the games should be world class.
Elite.
And if we're the best league in the world, then we need to go get the best referees in the world. And I would argue, and again, I'm coming from 14 years as an NCAA coach prior to this, why are we not going as a multi-billion dollar conglomerate and going to say, hey, we're going to go get the best 20 NCAA officials out there, or maybe there's a few officials over in Europe that are world-class. Let's go get them and pay them big money and now wipe out the bottom 20 that we have now that a lot of times the lead official's getting yelled at and screamed at because he's trying to carry the third official.
Right.
And that's a lot of the issues that are happening. But, you know, I've gotten this line from NBA people. Oh, well, the college guys, they don't. No, that's BS. That's nonsense. The bottom line is you go get the best.
Right.
Think about it. Every year in the NBA, we have 30 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
They all get guaranteed contracts. You know what that means? 30 guys are getting flushed out of the system every year because we have to add another 30 guys to the rosters. Well, guess what? Why are we not doing that with our officials? You know, why are we not, if you're on the bottom end, they'll give you all this protocol, we do this, we do that, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is if you add some people with stage presence that are really good, and now you add them to the top officials that we have, I think our officiating would be a lot better.
Jack Armstrong in studio.
But nobody wants to hear that.
No, I think a lot of people want to hear it. I think a lot of people are going to echo that. And speaking of the NCAA, you got Sweet 16 tipping off tonight on TSN. And what is so noticeable, you look at the four games tonight. Night one of the second weekend, there's not a number one seed playing tonight. Two number ones are out.
And the better games, in my opinion, are tonight. You know, there's a little bit more of a disparity tomorrow night between the teams. But, like, I am so excited for UCLA, Gonzaga, Connecticut, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a really hard-fought game. Kansas State, Michigan. But this, you know, this kid, Marquise Noel of Kansas State, little guard, tough as nails, New York kid playing in the Garden. That's going to be great. Tom Izzo's squad has played exceptionally well. And, you know, Arkansas, you know, Eric Musselman's done a phenomenal job with their program. Connecticut, the Big East, has performed at a high level, throughout. And, you know, so I think it'll be a great night of basketball. I mean, you look at, you know, Tiger Campbell, Jaquez from UCLA. They've been to in a lot of big games. Drew Timmy from Gonzaga. They had that classic game just a few years ago in the tournament. So I'm really excited. I haven't even mentioned Florida Atlantic, Tennessee.
Right.
Now, Tennessee, they've had some injuries down the stretch, and yet they're a great defensive team. I thought Duke was a dark horse to get
in. A lot of people were saying
that.
And
they kicked their tail. I mean, Tennessee just beat the heck out of them. They really guard. They're top five in college basketball and defense.
So, night two, you got to wait, I guess, for the powerhouses. And Alabama's the clear-cut number one team. Like, and they've looked good through the tournament. They were the number one seed coming in. This Miller kid, like, it sounds like he could go second overall. Maybe he may not have to wait until third.
A lot will depend on how people look at dig a little deeper on the investigation in terms of his involvement with obviously a murder, which is really bad stuff.
I guess so.
So yeah. I don't know. Providing a gun.
Clearly, that could be a
significant
issue.
So, you know, like you're saying, you know, what's this guy's common sense here? So, what's this, you know, so I'm sure NBA teams are going to vet that and really look deep into that.
But putting that aside.
Oh, no. He's a fabulous talent. He's a fabulous talent.
Tough to put aside, though.
Yeah, no, it's a big red flag, no doubt.
Yeah. It's like the kid in Georgia going on with the NFL draft.
Let's just say it's the biggest red flag.
No, it's a huge red flag, no doubt. And but he's a great talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in between.
And Bama, are they legit, like, number one?
Absolutely. Them and Houston. I would say, you know, in Houston, you know, obviously Marquis Sasser, his health, their guard play, they're pesky, they're tough. You know, if they get to the next weekend, they're playing at home in Houston, basically, in the Final Four, which would be amazing. But they're the two best teams. They've been throughout the year. They've been really solid. But, you know, look at the transfer portal, name, limit, image, likeness, the whole thing is different.
Things are changing, right?
It's so different.
It's changing, man.
Honestly, I mean, I know guys get old and tired, and, you know, you get Boeheim retiring, and it's Krzyzewski, Roy Williams. Jay Wright, who's a young guy, walked away a year ago at Villanova. It's a different game now. It's like being a junior college coach, literally, as a college head coach, and they're paying these guys $5, $10 million a year, whatever it is. And you are literally a junior college coach. Every year you're assembling teams. I mean, for me, when I coached in college, it was about, you know, developing guys. You know, guys wouldn't play a lot their freshman, sophomore year. Then they'd really flourish as upperclassmen. Senior night, they graduate. It was like it was a program thing. Guys would come back. Now it's like guys are there for 7-8 months. It's hit and miss.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, bong. Shotgun marriage. See you later. Boom. And you know, it's like
the Wild West.
You're a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Every day, every single day. John Heathcote used to have a great line. We lie to them. They lie to us. We lie to them. There's no honor among thieves.
Right.
College basketball is crazy. It's a cesspool. It's fun, but the recruiting game is nuts.
It's a different world right now. It most certainly is. Same thing with college football, right? Like, it's now they have to play. Like, you can get one and done in college ball.
Yeah.
Where in football, they're playing there for at least a few years. It's a different system.
But, you know, you got the kid Macon that he stayed at North Carolina. He's a great rebounder. He's better off staying there, getting the NIL money, than going. He wasn't probably not going to get drafted by the NBA. Rather than go playing in Europe, hey, hang out another year, Chapel Hill, Carolina.
Absolutely.
Not a bad place to be.
Keep making money.
You know, make a lot of money and living the life.
Not a bad scene.
Love it.
Doesn't suck.
Not a bad scene.
No.
He is Jack Armstrong. He'll be a big part of the panel tonight. March Madness, of course, right here on TSN. Sweet 16 kicking off tonight. So enjoy
great
that, Jack.
Great to see you guys. Oh, dog, I'm waving to you. You're virtual, I guess, huh?
Yes, yeah, you're virtual, man.
Yeah. Love you, man.
Technologically
savvy.
Love you,
Jack. Good to see you, pal.
There he is. All right, Jack. See you,
pal.
Thanks,
guys.
There he is. Jack Armstrong. March Madness tonight on TSN. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Pregame at 6:30. We're out of here at 6:30. And we got something we're going to get to in about 15 minutes based on Trout versus Ohtani. Kind of a GOAT conversation, player versus player, league versus league. We'll tell you about that in about 15.
I thought we were doing that at 4:30. I was surprised.
Yeah, that I don't recall why we got off.
I think we got a little long
path
on
there, but yeah, something came up.
Let's blame it on JP.
JP's back and looking better than
black
ever.
Black armbands
off looking better
for
than
JP.
Ever.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. JP, say hello,
grinding
buddy.
Back there.
How are you?
He is grinding. Just you can give us a thumbs up.
Yeah, you can give the thumbs up.
There's a thumbs up from JP. He's feeling good, looking good, and he's back in the act. So Adam Schefter just tweeted this out. Lamar Jackson, as we know, is his own agent or his mom's agent, but he has some crony.
Hang on a sec. Are you being serious? His mom's his agent?
Yeah, I believe his mom is the one that is representing him.
You know what? I'm not going to poke fun at that. Everyone, lots of guys have their
parents. I think Alex Ovechkin's mom was involved in his
last. I believe Ovi's parents were running
the show. Yeah, like, yes. There's something weird about that, too, but anyways.
But there's a guy named Ken Francis who is also kind of representing him, but he's not a certified agent.
Family friend.
Yeah, so the NFL has sent a memo to all the clubs letting them know that the NFLPA has informed the league that a person by the name of Ken Francis, who is not a PA-certified agent, may be contacting teams and attempting to persuade team personnel to enter into negotiations with Lamar. And the MO says that teams are prohibited from doing so, and if they do, there will be significant fines. But, like, who is this guy knocking on doors?
Why does teams need to be persuaded on Lamar?
But that is what is crazy. The idea that you even need Ken Francis to help persuade you on talking to Lamar Jackson. But what kind of tactics is Ken Francis using to try to persuade
you? We got to get him on. Can we get him
on? Get him on.
Please. Get Kenny Francis on.
We need
on.
Kenny.
It's a cover. It's some guy, like, you know, it's not even a real, that's not his real name.
Do you think
name.
That's Lamar? Do you think it's Lamar pretending to be Ken Francis?
It might be.
Hey, it's Ken Francis.
Hi, it's Ken Francis.
Hi, it's Ken
He's
Francis.
Got one of those voice changers on his phone. He's
That's like, not a real name either. Ken Francis.
That's what I'm saying.
There's
it's made
no
up.
Way.
It's
no
an
way.
Alter
it's
ego.
It's not feasible. Not in this country.
Not in this country.
You have reached the voicemail of Ken, Ken Francis.
Not Lamar Jackson. This is this, Ken
No,
Francis.
It's not Lamar. Not at all. But I know him.
Lamar's a friend of mine, but I'm not Lamar. I'm Ken Francis.
Yeah.
All right. Final half hour coming up. Leafs Panthers. We'll start teeing that up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.